Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. On today's Halloween edition of The Mailbag, I talk about why the Warriors need to use their trade exception, LaMelo Ball's potential fit on the roster, and the best Halloween costumes for the Warriors next season.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
El Padrino writes in, everyone keeps assuming the Warriors are going to use the TPE. I think there's a 50-50 chance on whether they use the TPE or not. How can the Warriors compete with the Lakers and the Western Conference without using the TPE? This is really the fundamental question, one of at least the fundamental questions the Warriors are asking themselves this offseason. The first one is what you do with the number two pick. The second one is, what are you willing to use this trade exception on? What is the minimum threshold for the kind of player that you're going to be willing to use to absorb into the $17.2 million trade exception, thereby increasing your luxury tax bill? But if that player moves the needle enough to increase the Warriors' title odds, to help the Warriors beat teams like the Lakers and the Clippers next season, then I think Joe Lacob will sign off on using it, but it depends on the player. Now, the TPE, when we're talking about players that the Warriors could use the TPE on, that really move the needle the way that we're talking about, there's not a lot of guys out there that I think are worthwhile. Now, look, if the Thunder decide that they want to move on from like a Dennis Schroeder type or something like that, then I think you would have to think about it if you're the Warriors. But to me, I think you need to use this on a versatile wing player. Now, even if the Warriors end up going with a wing in the draft, then I still think that they're going to have a need for wing whether it be by using the trade exception or in free agency. So a few guys that could make sense are, for the trade exception, Rudy Gay, Trevor Ariza, Al-Farouq Aminu, Justice Winslow, Eric Bledsoe, Jeremy Lamb, Josh Richardson, all guys who play on the perimeter, who are high-level defenders, who can help on that side of the ball. Now, Rudy Gay is 30-something years old, he's making $14 million a year. Then you look at a guy like Justice Winslow, who's still young, former 10th overall pick, really high-level defender, but only when he's healthy. But he can also bring you some ball skills. He played point guard for a season in Miami. I think that there's a lot to like there if he can remain healthy. That, to me, would be the sort of guy worth investing in. Not only because I think he can help right away, and I think a guy like Justice Winslow could, but also because there's the potential for him to develop into something more. And I think he would fit Golden State's roster really well. I mean, all the shooting issues that he has, he could still get streaky the way Andre Iguodala did, but he's a natural playmaker, a really high-level defender who can guard, you know, four different positions. He even played center as a rookie during the playoffs, in the second round of the playoffs against the Raptors when he was with the Miami Heat. So maybe even guard five different positions. I think he would be a home run for the trade exception, but you know the physical and all that kind of stuff would have to check out. But that to me would be what you use the trade exception on. Now, if the Warriors decide that they don't want to use the trade exception, then I think that there's a few free agents that I think could help. The reason I also go to wing is because if the Western Conference is going through the Lakers and the Clippers, which presumably it is, you need guys who can guard LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. And Andrew Wiggins is just not going to be enough. We don't know what Klay Thompson is going to look like coming off of this ACL tear. Draymond Green is going to be guarding front court players more often than he's guarding wing players. I think you're going to need as many wing defenders as possible. Steve Kerr knows this. Bob Myers knows this. I think they're going to address this position. So in free agency, you're looking at guys like Mo Harkless and Josh Jackson, guys who might be able to be you can use part of the mid-level exception on. And then there's minimum contract guys like Andre Roberson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, defensive-minded wing players who take a lot off the table on the offensive end. That's true. But you need guys. Even if it's a break-in-case-of-emergency type player, like if you're able to get Andre Roberson, who's among one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, but a complete negative on the offensive end, you can at least have him off your bench for special situations where, look, we're playing LeBron, We have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins all on the floor. That's enough offense for us. Let's get Roberson out there just so that he can guard LeBron James. I think you're going to need those guys next year on the Warriors roster, whether that's through the trade exception or through free agency. But those are kind of the guys I'm looking at, man. Like, those are the free agents. Mo Harkless doesn't really excite anybody. Andre Roberson, Josh Jackson, not really exciting anybody. Even if you get one of those guys on the minimum, I think they're going to need to use this trade exception to really compete at the top of the West. I think that they're one perimeter defender short. So even if it's not the full $17.2 million, even if they use a portion of it, they use $9 million of it on Al-Farouq Aminu, with $13 million of it on Justice Winslow, $10 million of it on Josh Richardson. That's the direction I would be going in. Now, I don't know if they can just get Josh Richardson for just the trade exception. You probably have to include a future first rounder. Maybe the same for Justice Winslow, honestly. But guys like Trevor Ariza, Al-Farouq Aminu, and Rudy Gay, you might be able to just absorb them right into the trade exception. And at that point, it might be worth paying whatever the luxury tax is going to be. Coming up, why LaMelo Ball isn't a great fit for the Warriors, despite his playmaking ability. But first, let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's for your mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-carry 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to bring in your briefcase or in your gym bag. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. Plus, it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that gets into the system quickly, promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. Guys, this stuff literally makes you look better and feel better. Here's the offer. Visit BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Daniel writes in: Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Denny Avdija, Tyrese Haliburton, and James Wiseman seem to be the top 5 on a lot of draft boards. Can you rate how scary their upside is using your favorite horror movies? I hope this makes sense, haha. Daniel, makes a little sense to me. I'm going to give it a shot. Look, Anthony Edwards has, to me, the most upside, so I'd give him Get Out, right? Just this high upside type film ended up playing out for them, but, you know, it was a risk for everybody involved, and maybe it wouldn't have worked. So Anthony Edwards to me is Get Out. Denny Avdija seems reliable, but could also be subtly great, and so I'll give him Silence of the Lambs, always a good one. Tyrese Haliburton, that's the safe pick. So he's any one of the Halloween movies, just reliable. You know what you're getting. You know you're going to have a good time with him on the floor. Not going to blow you away, but just, again, reliable, knows what it's doing. James Wiseman can either be great or not great. I think that the range of outcomes for him are pretty wide. So I'm going to go with Jaws, where that first Jaws, all-timer, right? Generational movie, very forward-looking, very ahead of its time. But some of the subsequent Jaws movies, not great, not great at all. And so I think that's where Wiseman could end up. And then there's LaMelo Ball, who I think is more flair than substance. So I'm going to go with The Ring for LaMelo Ball. Speaking of LaMelo Ball, Guo writes in: can the current roster excel with LaMelo Ball? It's hard to pass on the clear top 2 talent with future trade value if no trade down this year. Can staggering Steph Curry or Klay Thompson with Ball coming off the bench as a playmaker result in some interesting lineups? Also take some playmaking pressure off of Draymond and Steph Curry. That to me is the argument for LaMelo Ball, is the Warriors need ball handling. They need playmaking in a real way. And LaMelo Ball is the best playmaker in this draft, right, according to some experts. Now, I would still put Tyrese Haliburton over LaMelo Ball. I think, again, LaMelo Ball is definitely flashier, but I trust Haliburton on a possession-to-possession basis more than I trust Ball to make decisions. That said, you can't deny that LaMelo Ball has this generational playmaking talent. I don't know that he's going to be able to tap into that talent with Golden State. My concern with him is defensively, it's just not there right now. I don't know that he is one to improve on that end, even though he does have the tools. And then the shooting is a real issue. I mean, the guy can't shoot from three-point range. And so you're going to be, you know, sacrificing a lot of spacing. You're going to be sacrificing a lot on the defensive end. And for those reasons, especially on defense, I don't know that he could play next to Steph and Klay Thompson, especially next to Steph. who you're giving up enough defensively as it is. I think when you talk about guys that you're going to pair on the perimeter with Steph Curry, it's guys like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson, guys who are positive defenders. And I think that's what you're looking for here. Now, is there enough potential for LaMelo to potentially to get there? Yeah, absolutely. But again, I'll go back to this. I don't know that immediately that he's going to get the playing time in Golden State to eventually tap into that potential. He is a guy who needs the ball to be great. And he's not going to have it all the time. And so I don't love the fit with LaMelo Ball. That said, on Chad Ford's podcast, Chad Ford's Big Board, you can find that on the Locked On Podcast Network, he loves a LaMelo Ball fit in Golden State. He came on this podcast a couple months ago and said that. Almost talked me into it. But the more I look at it, I just don't see it. Because if you can't play him next to Steph Curry, then you're basically bringing him off the bench. If Steph's playing 30 minutes per game or even more, then you're really only looking at 18 minutes per game for LaMelo Ball. Is that enough for him as a rookie to really get better and develop? I don't know, right? I don't think it is. And so, and you're not really going to be using him in the situation that he needs. I think he needs to be drafted somewhere where he has the ball in his hands and they can be patient, maybe something rebuilding where he's got, you know, offensive weapons like the Warriors have, but not offensive weapons that necessarily need the ball the way the Warriors have. So yeah, not in love with the LaMelo Ball fit with the Warriors. Coming up, I get into one of my favorite topics, food debates. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Ben writes in, Kit Kat or Peanuts M&Ms? My first reaction here is Peanut M&Ms, but I'm going to go with Kit Kat. I think, first of all, the texture ratio on Kit Kats is perfect. The crunch to chocolate ratio is perfection. You could put a Kit Kat in the refrigerator. You get it a little bit harder. That, to me, is the move. Even the freezer for a little bit. Nice and cold. Nice and crisp. I think that's the way to go. I think that's why Kit Kat beats peanut M&Ms, because you can't put peanut M&Ms in the freezer. I have a thing with putting chocolate in the freezer. I love that. With peanut M&Ms, they just get too hard. Crack your teeth. That's not good. So I go with Kit Kats here. I think a Kit Kat to me is a luxury candy brand. It's not something that you're eating all the time. To me, M&Ms, you get a handful. You see them all the time. I've eaten more M&Ms than Kit Kats in my life, no doubt. But that's why I think Kit Kat is like a caviar. It's something that you don't want all the time, but in the right context, you definitely want it. You can't beat it. Kit Kat wins. Thanks for that question, Ben. Neil writes in, what's the best couple's Halloween costume? This is tough. This is something I've been trying to figure out this year, and the realization that I've had is couples' Halloween costumes are never as good as just a single Halloween costume, right? And I get the intrigue of wanting to do a couple's Halloween costume. It's a holiday. You're celebrating it with somebody that you care about. You want to kind of go to these parties or whatever in a normal year, with a united front, presenting a united front. You're together. This is my person. We're here together. And you want to show off that way. But it's really, really difficult to execute well. There's not a lot. I think the funniest one I've ever seen is, you know, the plug and the outlet, you know, the female and the male end. That I got a chuckle out of that. But I don't love funny Halloween costumes either. Like, Halloween is a time for scary. Go be scary. Like, try, you know? I think there's nothing wrong with the old-fashioned just be a zombie. Something like that. But there's funny Halloween costumes, I guess, but I think there's other ways to laugh in life that are better than costumes. So, you know, go ahead, try to be scary. That said, if you're looking to me for couples costume advice, I'm just not the guy. So, I don't really have a great answer for you here, Neil. Nathan writes in, if the core three had to have the perfect Halloween costume for this next season, what would it be? I gave this a lot of thought. And I don't know, Nathan, if you meant like an individual costume for each of the core three guys, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. But I'm just going to give one costume to the entire Warriors roster. And that's going to be Deadpool. Because the Warriors should be healing fast. And that's Deadpool's, you know, main superpower, is that he heals quickly. They're going to go from 15 wins to probably contending again next season. So I think that they're going to be Deadpool, because they're going to get right back into it. They're going to go from having the worst record in the league to being contenders in the Western Conference. And that, to me, should be what their costume for next season. That'll do it for today's Halloween edition of the Mailbag. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Go for sponsoring today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Have a great Halloween, and I'll see you here next week.